Okay, y'all can be turning to Joel chapter 2. But first, how many of y'all got a chance to read the prayer directives for the Highway 150 corridor for December? Did anybody get a chance to read it? Well, I want to read it to you because it went right along with what happened in church last Sunday, and if God made an altar, well, not an altar call, but a call for all the intercessors to come up here and be anointed, and there was 12 of them, and like I said, that didn't shut the door if you weren't here. If you're called to be an intercessor, God wants you, and I know Glenna said that she is, so we're going to pray for her a little bit later. You can hang around for a while, but it was interesting because this went right along with the prayer directives, and really, it wasn't planned. It happened. But it's been an awesome year, and it's hard to believe 2015 is coming to a close. Isn't that hard to believe? Really, it's hard to believe this year is already gone. We have all had disappointments, but what blessings to see souls come into the kingdom. And we've seen that, praise the Lord. We've seen them come in at prison. We've seen them here on Wednesday morning come in. And we've seen them here at church come in. But most of it's been on the outside. So praise God. How many of y'all have got to lead somebody to Jesus this year? Anybody? I'm in a very good position. I know Nina has, because when you get to work, with food pantry, we get to pray for a whole lot of people. So it's just incredible. How many of y'all talked to somebody about Jesus this year? Well, praise the Lord. You know what? You led them to the Lord. No, you led them to the Lord. You think, well, I didn't get to see the harvest. Well, that's immaterial. If you told somebody about Jesus, you led them to the Lord. Now, they may have not made the decision then or what you wanted them to. But just like at that funeral yesterday, how many of y'all ever heard me preach a funeral? I'm usually raw. And there's going to be like repentance and people are going to come to Jesus, or at least they're going to be invited. But yesterday was just a different, strange atmosphere. It was just like, tell them Jesus loves them. Tell them Jesus has a plan for their life. Tell them, and it was completely different. And when you sing Jesus loves me, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing there's that much, I won't say religion, there's so many kids that have been to Bible school. There's so many kids that have been to Sunday school a couple of times in their life, and they're just waiting to be picked. They're just waiting for God to move on them and harvest them. So that's what it was. I mean, you could go out here to a meth lab. You could go out here to a bar, and you could start singing Jesus Loves Me, and they could pick right up with you. But they're not going to heaven necessarily. You know, they are lost, lost, lost. But God wants, man, that's the kind of harvest we're going to see coming in. Mike, that's the kind of harvest we're going to see coming in. You got kids at school that are just like, what is this, man? What is this? The rebellion and fighting and I was working with Donna the other day, and I won't say what school because that's probably HIPAA or something. But, you know, here comes a police, New Albany policeman, and he's got a boy handcuffed, taking him off to the car. I'm like, is this, and that's like the norm, dude. That's like the norm, locking people up at school and taking them off. God can really move in that atmosphere. I mean, you know what, that's, because people are going, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be a solution to this. And there is, and his name's Jesus. And this country is doing everything they can to keep people from getting that revelation, but they cannot stop it. The Bible says if we don't, the rocks will cry out. Jesus is king. Jesus is returning. Jesus gave his life for us, praise the Lord. That's good news. That wasn't on the prayer directives. That's free. We've seen sick folks healed, the rumbling and the beginning tremors of revival. And I believe that's what we're experiencing right now, is the tremors It's like those little shock waves before the big one comes, right? Let's finish this year not with a whimper, but a roar. And I think that was evidence today. Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Decree and declare all his prophetic promises to you and to the church. You need to start proclaiming and decreeing what God has promised you. Amen? Praise God. And what you said, brother, that's right. You proclaimed it and you decreed it. The rest, you know, the answer's up to the Lord. What's that? Help me with that verse, Jenny. I know it was a memory verse. The word, the tongue, the answer is the Lord. Never mind. It used to be a memory verse. It got lost somewhere. Start out your prayer directives with the promises of Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. And y'all know what that is, don't you? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me. And I'm talking you. He has anointed you to preach what? Good news. I think it says in King James, it says good tidings. Good news to the poor. What's good news to the poor? You don't have to be poor anymore. And I told him at the funeral to heal the brokenhearted. Y'all got broken hearts right now. Because really, without Jesus at a funeral, it's a pretty depressing deal. I'm not saying that it's fun when you're a Christian, but when you know that you know that you know that that person laying there, their spirit is with the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you have hope. You have hope. And you know, I go to one anymore, and I'm thinking, when my brother died at 39 years old, and people are going, oh, gosh, he really got robbed. And I'm like, no, dude, he beat me to the finish line. He's not going to have to deal with all the stuff I have to deal with. He won. He won. Really. But the family, the children, and I'm like, whoa, that's rough for them. But you know what? You wouldn't like to think this, but would they really want to come back? Would you really want to come back if heaven is what we know it is? My Lord, it's glory. It's glory. It's glory. Smith Wigglesworth, weird name. Y'all know him. Not personally. He's been gone a long time. This guy saw miracles, signs, wonders everywhere he went. He could not read or write. But the Lord let him read the Bible, and that's all he ever read. He wouldn't allow a newspaper in his house. He didn't want anything in his house that wasn't God. I'm not telling you have to be that extreme, but it would probably help. We're not seeing dead people raised yet. It's coming. It's coming. But anyway, his wife died on him, and he didn't like that. So he stood her up and took her out and slammed her up against the wall. And he said, you will live. Guess what? She did. She said, Smith, you're going to let me go now because I don't want to come back. So you just let me go. And much as he hated to, he let her go on. And she wanted to go back. She did not want to be back. She said, I love you, Smith, but it's my time. I don't want to be here. So take joy in that, man. The main objective is to get your whole family saved so when they do go, you got no regrets. Right, Sarah? No regrets. No regrets. Because there ain't nothing, listen, there ain't nothing that don't go down too good is when you knew that you were supposed to tell somebody about Jesus and you let your, what do you call it? I guess ultimately pride, but fear of man, whatever you want to call it. But then when you hear they died, it's like, oh, gosh. And I've had several I worked at the phone company with that are gone, man, gone. Just man. But I can say one thing. The ones that have gone, I did tell them about Jesus. I don't know what they did with it. You know, but me and Larry, you know, No, I'm just saying, Larry was probably no more or as much a heathen as I was. But, you know, I witnessed to him somewhat because I remember one day, God spared you from an early death. Because I remember one morning I had a dream that I saw your pickup truck and it was totaled out on the green belt. And I'm like, ah. So I was worried that it really had happened. And I told him, I said, man, you know, this scared me, man. You really need to get right with Jesus. And praise God, long after I retired, and it's okay if I share this, isn't it? One Sunday morning, I thought, well, you know, you don't think about it. You plant all these seeds and you just kind of, you pray for people, but you don't dwell on it, right? I mean, maybe you do, but you plant the seeds and believe God's going to do. And I got a call one Sunday morning, and Larry said, man, he said, I've been reading the Bible. And he said, man, I've done, you know, I have sinned against God. He said, can I be forgiven for anything? It was like, bam, right there on the phone on Sunday morning. Wasn't no altar call, wasn't no church service. It was right there, wherever, whatever room you was in, God moved. And so don't you despise those seeds you've been sowing all these years, because you will see them come to fruition in due time. And I wish it would happen like bam, you know. But like Jesus said, he said, you plant seeds in the garden, you might, you know, when you're a little kid, you got so much faith, you go out there the next day and you're like, where's, you know, and you'll dig up the seed and you won't see nothing. But if you wait, you will see a great harvest. So I encourage y'all that have led people to the Lord this year. If you haven't led people to the Lord this year, you are the rest of this year and next year and the rest of your life, and you're going to start seeing fruit. You're going to see instant. You're going to start seeing things happen quickly. Quickly. Really. It's a time of, what's the word, divine acceleration. I believe things are accelerating. Evil is accelerating. Every other thing. When evil prevails, how much more does God prevail? When it's dark, how much brighter is the light? So y'all are bright right now. You know that? Praise God. If you ever have people that just like to come around you and just, you can tell they just want to get next to you. Really, because it's not you, it's the anointing. They're drawn to the anointing in you, Amy. They're drawn to the anointing in you. So, this has got probably nothing to do with what I was reading, but that did. Before you read and decree, you are anointed to accomplish all God's directives in Isaiah 61. You must put on the garment of praise. When you put on the garment of praise, it covers you and begins restoring your soul. Restoration comes from the da-da-da-da. I'm not going to read all this. But it's the same thing. Praise will restore us to intimacy with God like Adam and Eve felt when they walked with God in the cool of the day. That's the kind of intimacy God wants us to feel. And you sang an old song. What was the song you sang this morning? I'm like, that is so incredible. It's an oldie. What was it? Hosanna. 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 Hosanna in the highest. I don't know. Keith Green did that maybe. I don't know. But I hadn't heard that in a long time. It's such a powerful song. And the Lord's been speaking to me. We got to put on the garment of praise. And I knew this. But you know how you get, like, you outgrow stuff? No, really. Sometimes you think you outgrow stuff. But God's saying, come back to your first love, right? Come back to your first love. Come back to your first love. And me and Donna used to get up when, now she's got such an early schedule, we don't get as much time, but we would start every morning, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We'd sing that together. It's like, so what's that? It's a declaration that this is the day that belongs to the Lord, and I will rejoice in it. But when you start out with, oh, I just got a text message. Oh, there's news. Oh, there's stuff going down and all this. It's like, ah, you've done put garbage and sewage into your life before you've ever given a second to God. And the rest of the day, you'll pay for that. It's true. It's true. Whose report will you believe? I will tell you what report you'll believe. You'll believe the one you put the most time into listening to. If you listen to the report of the Lord and you read the report of the Lord and you proclaim the report of the Lord, you're going to reap the report of the Lord. But doubt, fear, and unbelief, it'll crush you. It'll crush you. And like my brother said, instant obedience is spiritual warfare. Instant obedience and complete obedience is spiritual warfare. You know, and just what you said, brother, we've all done it. It's like, oh, well, I'm going to partially do what God said, and that'll be good enough. Because I'm an American, and, you know, it don't apply to me. Partial obedience is disobedience and rebellion. Not speaking to you, brother. We've all done it. We've all done it. But guess what? This year, and I'm not talking to you about money either, because I got assurance that God is going to supernaturally pay off this building. God's going to supernaturally give us that house at the bottom of this driveway. God's supernaturally going to pave this driveway so y'all don't have to trip over big rocks and stuff anymore. God is getting ready to do some stuff. Woo! And I can hardly wait to see how he does it. So we got to put on praise as a weapon. And it must always go forth in battle, especially intercessory prayer. Put on the garment of praise whether you're experiencing the evil spirit of heaviness or not. Praise will push the enemy back. I will tell you something. Depression is an evil spirit. Listen, it's an evil spirit. Because eventually it leads to death. So I know it's not God. He came to give life, an abundant life. So if you're experiencing depression, you need to cast it down in the name of Jesus. You need somebody to agree with you, have them agree with you, and pray that dude out of you, right? You don't need it. You don't want it. Yes.
Just as a testimony, we were at prayer, and someone was asking for prayer for one for depression, and you said anybody's feeling depressed. I was starting to feel it come back on me a little bit. And we went up, and we just all started praising, and it was gone in a second. I mean,
praise
it was,
God.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. You got something? Quick.
When you wake up in the morning, just wake up like a horse coming out of the gate. Jump straight out of bed. Praise the Lord. Just as a horse comes out of the gate, that's how we're to be, as a horse comes out of the gate.
Praise the Lord. What was that? Did I miss something? Huh? He was neighing. Well, back when I was a heathen, I bet on some that never even got out of the gate. So, heathen, I said, I don't do that. Praise God. I believe the main prayer directive of this month would be to pray for our intercessors. Did y'all get your text? Y'all get that group text I send out? What did it say? Very good. And the mass one I sent out to the church was pray for your intercessors. Pray for them because they're out on the wall. They're on the watchman on the wall. And I'm not saying that, I don't have to explain myself. Pray for them. Pray for them. It's a good idea to pray for people that are watching over you. If you had a physical wall around the city or your house, which you do if you pray over your home. But if you had people that were up on the wall, your safety while you were asleep would depend on their faithfulness to watch for the enemy, wouldn't it? Same deal in the spirit. God is raising up. He's always raised up intercessors, but a lot of them got beat up. A lot of them got beat down. And I know a lot of them in this corridor that's went through a lot. But God is going to raise them up, but he's given a plan that we will have their back. We will pray for those who intercede for us and for breakthroughs and stuff. So be bold as an intercessor, a watchman, to gird yourself up and tell people in your church and corridor that you need prayer and strength. It's like when you get an opportunity to have people pray for you, don't hang out back there and go, oh, well, you know. No, boldly come up and get prayer. Boldly come up and get prayer. Man, it don't matter. If this prayer service had lasted the rest of the day, it would have been all right, you know. When God's moving, you need to get in there when he's moving. You know, when the guy at the pool of Siloam, what did it say? I want to get healed, but every time the water's stirred, I can't get in the water and I have nobody to help me in, right? Well, if you can't get in the water by yourself, have somebody help you in. And I know that's not proper teaching of that verse. I'm just saying, though, when the water's stirring, you need to jump in, right? How many of y'all jumped in this morning? I did, and I liked it. Praise the Lord. I'm leaving a lot of this out. Y'all read it. It's on the Highway 150 corridor Facebook page. I love you all, and I thank you for your faithfulness to pray for a revival and the third great awakening. Thank you for fighting the good fight. Above all, I thank you for being my friend. And boy, I got some good friends out here on this corridor. And I said Joel, didn't I? How y'all doing? Because I don't want to bring this forth if you've had enough. I don't want to bring this forth. I want you to get it. Y'all okay? Okay. Joel 2, verse 28. And this is one that, as Pentecostals or Spirit-filled people, that you've heard quoted over and over and over again. And I love this verse, but it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Does God really pour out his spirit on flesh? Does he? That's what it says. And Jesus, when he came, it said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus died and went to heaven, and he resurrected, and his disciples, apostles, were depressed. And Peter said, well, I'm going to go fishing. You know, basically, I'm going to go back to the old ways. But Jesus, he said, wait. Go wait in the upper room. Larry, go wait on the concrete floor. Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. Wait for the promise. And you know, I believe when we are born again, no, I know this. When you are born again, your old man dies and your new man is resurrected. And the word, which is the word is a capital W, the word is Jesus. Jesus is the living Word, the Word of God made flesh. When he comes into you, Larry, when he comes into your heart, guess what? The Word becomes flesh. Flesh ain't bad. I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about God has to inhabit Nobody would ever hear about Jesus if there were just spirits wandering around. They'd just get goofy and start worshiping them, you know? And that's not what God wants to do. You know, they wanted to worship angels many times in the Bible. Said, no! I think John, when he was writing Revelation, said, no! No, don't worship me. Worship only the King Jesus. We may not get too far in this. Your sons and your it'll come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all what? Flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And you know what? That doesn't say that your old men won't get visions. That don't say that your young men won't get dreams. Maybe that's predominantly how it's going to work. I want visions, Jeep. Well, I'm not old, though. I'm not old till 120, so. And also on my men servants and what? And my maid servants. Did you know what a revelation? Do you know what a prophetic word this was? Only men were priests. Only men, basically, the man of the house was the one that, the spiritual leader, it said, hey, on my men and my women, I'm going to pour out my spirit. When Jesus came and gave his life, everything changed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who was at the tomb first? Mary. Who? Mary, his mother? Mary Magdalene, who had how many demons cast out of her? I don't remember, but it was a bunch. Woo! Get to go to the tomb, praise God. The rest of them are like, oh, we're scared to open the door. Who is that? God. I know, that feels good, don't it? Your young men, oh, well, I'm way past that. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show what? Wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome or terrible day of the Lord. And it will come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you got to remember something. He's talking about Pentecost to come, and then he's talking about the end of the end of days. And then he's going back to Jesus dying on the cross. So he's writing all this prophetic stuff, and guess what? He don't even know what he's writing. Honestly. And you get prophetic words many times and go, I don't get that. I don't understand. Well, maybe you're not supposed to. Maybe it's for somebody else. Maybe it's for a time down the road. Does that make any sense? Because he's literally talking about the Spirit of God being poured out at Pentecost, and then he's talking about the blood and the heavens darkened and the day of the Lord. So, got all that? I don't got it all, but I'm learning. And it will come to pass that whoever, when did that come to pass? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. When did that come to pass? After Jesus, yes, at the cross. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant who calls, whom the Lord calls. Okay, now I'll go to Joel 1. We read the fun stuff. This is fun stuff too. Chapter 1, verse 1. How many chapters in there? 3? The word of the Lord, and that Lord means Yahweh, which if you look in your concordant, it is YHWH. And the reason that is they believe God was so holy that you weren't even allowed to pronounce his name. The word of the Lord Yahweh, which means the self-existent one, eternal one, the Lord, that came to Joel, which his name translated Jehovah is God. That was Joel's name. That's what his name, and boy, your name's important. Your name's important. the son of Pethuel, which means the vision of God. And I'm not trying to give you a Hebrew lesson. I just want to tell you how much God was in these three names right here. Hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your father? And I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Y'all remind me what verse it is. Tell your children about it. Let your children tell their children and their children another generation what the chewing locust left, the swarming locust has eaten. What the swarming locust has left, the crawling locust has eaten. And what the crawling locust left, the consuming locust has eaten. Awake, you drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it has been cut off from your mouth. For a nation has come up against my land, strong and without number. His teeth are teeth of a lion, and he has fangs of a fierce lion. He has laid waste my vine and ruined my fig tree. He has stripped it bare, thrown it away, and its branches are made white. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of your youth. The grain offering and the drink offering have been cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests mourn who minister to the Lord. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined. The new wine is dried up and the oil fails. And the oil always represents the Holy Spirit. So that anointing is no longer present in the house of my God. Be ashamed, you farmers. Wail, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. Verse 13, gird yourselves up and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister before the altar. Come lie in sackcloth, for you minister, for who minister to my God, for the grain offering. And I'm going to go back to 2. And I know that was kind of wordy, but these locusts had invaded the land. And I don't know if you've ever seen any footage of locusts. Usually it's in Africa, but it's, you just can't. Have y'all ever seen that? It's like when they come through, it'll be lush trees and crops and everything. And when they're gone, everything is gone. Every tree, every leaf on the tree, every piece of plant is just decimated. There's nothing left, totally nothing. And he talks about even on further down that they march in rank and order. But yet they don't know what the other one's doing. Isn't it amazing what God has done in his creation? You ever been around cicadas? 17-year locust. Have you ever? That's the closest I could ever be. I was out of town one time, and you could throw a rock in a big tree, and they would be all over you and all around you, just thousands of them. It's like a swarm. It looked almost like a cloud. I think I've even seen. There was footage where they got on the railroad tracks out west, and they were so thick that the railroad couldn't get traction. It just sat there and spun because all of the dead bodies and stuff on the track. It's unbelievable. But it said here in verse 2, hear this, you elders, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this happened in your days or even in the days of your fathers? I'm not going to get done today, but I want to leave you on a good note. But I just want you to, I want you to think about this. America, has anything like what's happening right now ever happened in your lifetime? Has it happened in your father's lifetime? Has it happened in your grandfather's lifetime? Has it happened in your great-great-grandfather's lifetime? Has anything like this happened? Have these consuming locusts moved into our nation like they are now? And this is not, please, I'm not trying to bring you down. I just want to wake us up. We must pray. We must see a move of God, because I got news for you. Revival is coming. An awakening is coming. There is no doubt about that. It's just a question, are we going to have to sit under judgment before that happens? There's no doubt in my mind. Either way, it's going to happen. Y'all need to get happy about that. Because you know what? When I was your age, Justin, I was happy about it and even praying, God send judgment. This nation needs to be. No, really, I was. It's like, I can handle it, God. I'm ready for it. Let's do it. If it's going to bring souls in, let's do it. If it's going to bring revival in, let's do it. If we're going to see dead people raised, do it. And now, you know what? Things are easier for me, and it's like, you know what? I think about it, and guess what? It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. But I want whatever it takes to see America saved, don't you? But it don't have to be the hard way. It really don't. And I don't comment much on social events, but this thing that happened, Wisdom, Jesus. This thing that happened in San Bernardino, California was totally demonic. It was an act of terrorism, and there's no other religion that I know of that tells you to kill the infidel. It's in the book. It's in the Quran. Kill the infidel. Now, guess what, Larry? You're an infidel. You're an infidel. And you got to hear from the Holy Spirit what you should do. You got to hear from the Holy Spirit what you're to do. And from the book of Larry Norman, love everybody, but don't be blind. Some people sent to mess your mind. You got to watch what you're doing. You got to know who you're following. You got to know who you are in Jesus. You got to know who you are in Jesus. We do not serve a political system. The Republican Party cannot and will not fix it. But we sure wouldn't be as far down the road. Yes, I can say that on the World Wide Web. Take away our tax exemption. I give a rip less. You know what? You better stand up. You better tell everybody. You warn them. You scream out what the locust is destroyed. Go to Deuteronomy 28 if you want to read what the reaping is of a nation that quits following the Most High God. It said it will. Your children will be led away by foreigners. Like ungodly music and ungodly sex and ungodly everything, internet, all this stuff is leading your children away captive. You were captivated by that probably, weren't you, young lady? I was captivated by that. But I came home, praise God, and I got to tell people the good news. You don't have to live like this. So I look at this Islam, Muslim, whatever you want to call it. It's an invading army of locusts. And listen to me. Listen to my heart. I know a lot of people have got this, like, I'm supposed to love everybody. Yes, you are supposed to love everybody. Praise God we're supposed to love everybody. That's a good thing, ain't it? You got to tell them the truth. And this political correct crap is just what it is. You won't even speak what you know to be true, what's burning in your heart. You won't speak it because somebody tells you you'll hurt somebody's feelings. Hey, you know what? I got my feelings hurt a lot of times in my life. That's got nothing to do with the truth, my feelings. Feelings change. The Word of God remains the same forever and ever and ever and ever. It's unchanging, 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 unchanging. And if I tell somebody they're okay with God and they're not going with God, guess what? I'm lying to them and I'm sentencing them to hell. But I know I'm quitting. But I just want you to know, you need to know what you believe. You need to be strong in what you believe. And I want you to think a minute. And I thought of this because I've heard a lot of arguments. Love them, and I'm not opposed to that at all. But if you think back, I want y'all to just grab your heads and think back to the founding of America. Why did the pilgrims leave? Why did they leave the nations they were in Europe? Because they were no longer allowed to practice Christianity in the way they wanted to. Not Muslim, not Buddha, Christianity. Our nation was founded on Christianity. And they come over here and they got freedom! And they died and they starved to death and they froze to death. They laid down their lives so you can have freedom. And praise God, things started getting better. They started making some money. They started multiplying, and it was good. And then England comes in and goes, excuse me, we want the tax money. We want this nation. And they had a big decision to make. Do we want to allow the government to take us back to what we were when we moved here? Or do we fight? And we don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. But my Lord, if we're not even fighting against principalities and powers, if we're just laying there, la, 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 la. No, it ain't going to happen. We must fight. The days to be, what do you call it? Pacifist. Jesus was not a pacifist. Jesus laid down his life. Yes, Jesus gave his life. He wasn't a pacifist, though. And when he comes back, he's not a baby in a manger anymore. He's not a broken man on a cross. He didn't stay in the grave, and he's not staying in heaven forever. He's alive. He's alive, and he's coming back as a roaring lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to conquer. He's going to crush sin. He's going to crush the enemy. He's going to put them under his feet. And when he steps down, it's going to be a nice, quiet day. It's going to break open. What is it? The Mount of Olives is going to split open. And he's going to take on all the armies of the world. Yes. Yes, and we're going to be behind him. He's going to be on a white horse, and we're going to come down. Whoa. We're going to have swords. Shoo. Man, I always wanted to do that when I was a kid. Used to love him sword fight movies. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Won't be no ch-ch-ch-ch. It'll be, ha! You're gone. You're gone. And again, I'm not talking about flesh and blood. Don't y'all. Y'all on the World Wide Web, I'm not advocating violent revolution. Well, yes, I am. Violent revolution, but not in the flesh. Not yet, anyway. Praise the Lord. What do you think, Janet? Sha-na-na-na. You got something, Mike?
I bet you do. This is a man that's a warring man.
God has me praying each morning about the fact that we have an enemy in this land, and he's hidden. And so my prayer has been, Lord, do something to reveal this person, reveal any plots, any plans of the enemy, to expose them somehow, let them come up, and Lord, let us just, you know, be able to squash that. And so I heard something with this San Bernardino thing. There was a lady who got on TV, and she talked about her husband who was in that room, and he was a Jewish Christian. And this guy that did the shooting was very irritated with this guy. He would, evidently, this guy would witness to him. He was working with him directly. But he got really irritated. And, you know, of course, this was a Christmas party after this meeting. There was a Christmas party going to go down. And so I'm just visualizing this guy just being eat up with demonic stuff. I mean, he's going to have to suffer through this Christmas party. There's this guy that's trying to witness to him. And so I have... And when they caught this guy, or, you know, when they shot him and stuff, they found all these extra bombs and all these extra ammunition. This was not the primary target. This primary target was, I mean, this target was secondary at most. And there was something bigger going to happen. And so God did what he said he would do. Now, there were some people that died as a result of that. But this verse, Psalm 64, listen to this. This is about Muslim, I think, the enemy. Hear my voice, O God, and my complaint. Guard and preserve my life from the terror of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel and conspiracy of the ungodly, from the scheming of evildoers. Now listen to this. Or next verse. Who whet their tongues like a sword, who aim venomous words like arrows. All right, and here it is, verse 4. Who shoot from ambush at the blameless man. Suddenly do they shoot at him without self-reproach or fear. They encourage themselves in an evil purpose. They talk of laying snares secretly. They say, who will discover us? They think out acts of injustice and say, we have accomplished a well-devised thing. For the inward thought of each one is unsearchable and his heart is deep. And this is our promise here. But God will shoot an unexpected arrow at them. And suddenly shall they be wounded, and they will be made to stumble, their own tongues turning against them. All who gaze upon them will shake their heads and flee away, and all men shall reverently fear and be in awe. And they will declare the work of God, which we're doing right here, right now. For they will wisely consider and acknowledge that it is His doing, it's God's doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust and take refuge in Him. And all the upright in heart shall glory and offer praise. So, Lord, we do. We offer glory and praise for Your mighty hand of providence over us, Lord. We declare Your victory over this enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare that he will be destroyed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, every time he pops his head up, there is going to be a destruction come upon him. And not because we're anything great, Lord, because we are an evil people, Lord. We have abortion, Lord. We sell body parts on the open market. We've declared that gay marriage is good. We've declared that we try to hide you and your laws from people. We make them go underground. Lord, we are evil nation. We repent right now, Father God. We repent in the name of Jesus. Lord, the blood, only thing that can save us is the blood of Jesus. And so, God, we humble ourselves and ask, Lord, come, Jesus, come. We need the spirit of repentance to come across this land. Spirit of revival, come across this land in the name of Jesus. Come forth in the name of Jesus. Awake, awake.
Yes, Lord, and I'm going to give y'all an assignment. I want you to start every day with 5 minutes of praying in tongues. Before you even get out of bed, I want you use that gift, brother. If you don't use it, you know what happened? Or it gets weak or ineffective, or you've got a gift that you haven't opened. Open it every morning and do that. Does anybody here, would anybody like that gift that don't have it? Gift of tongues. It's a gift. It does. Anybody, you'd like to have it, and you don't have it. It's not a bad thing if you don't have it. It's a bad thing if you want it and don't ask for it. You know? I want you to be blessed with it. And I think y'all's little daughter was a little bit intimidated when Daddy went down. But you know what? I think she grabbed it and understood that. I think it was the fear of the Lord, really, which is not a bad thing, you know. It's not a bad thing at all. So I think she got understanding there. So praise God. And praise God, Larry got the gift of tongues, and he's going to use it. He's going to walk all over his house and property, and God's going to show up. Let's stand up and pray. And if you need prayer for anything, please don't leave here without getting it under the blood. Don't leave here without getting it settled. I had about 40 more pages, but it's way much for today.